Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Gresh and Fourier.
Pasternak is there! He scores!
After Game 6, Jim Montgomery said, Pasta has to step up. The place is alive because Pasta stepped up.
It's that time.
Gresh and Fourier, right now on WEEI.
Your 25 minutes uninterrupted begins right now, and I guess everybody gets to keep their job now, right? That's the way this goes. Like, you go to overtime, you play a tight game, but if you lose, everybody gets fired. But since you won, Jim Montgomery's now a genius. Pasta's not a giant pea. It restores faith in the world that a coach can actually say something to a player in 2024 and then not curl up in a corner and suck their thumb. Right? All is right in the world. Everybody was about to get shipped out on Saturday night at 10 o'clock. But as soon as Pasta put one in the back of the basket, everyone is saved, and hallelujah, we're moving forward, baby.
You know what? Good morning, Gresh. I'm sensing some sarcasm from you,
well,
and you're laying it on pretty thickly.
Well, but just,
you know
what?
I'm not taking the cheese on this, because the reality is, yes, he did. That's the difference.
That is.
Isn't it?
It really is.
All jokes aside, I was actually thinking about it. I was like, wow. One careless, defensive lapse in, awareness by the Leafs, because there were four freaking guys all just skating in the direction, of the puck, and none of them have a clue where Pastrnak is, and he shoots through and perfect timing, in stride, pop, there goes the weasel, and then the game is over.
Yeah.
Just like that.
I say that kind of, tongue-in-cheek sort of clowning around, but that's really the way it felt, especially as the pressure in that game built as it went to overtime. Oh, my God. If you give up a quick goal, or if there is some sort of issue or a mishap or a two-on-one or somebody blows a tire and Swayman can't make the save, then does everybody get fired off of that? That's kind of the vein in which I sort of mean it, because, yep, the Bruins had issues scoring in this series. There's no question. But the guy that got called out, the guy that there was the discussion and we had it, and Courtney correctly calling out everyone on the morning show, because, again, we're now in the – we become so scared because of Bill. Because Bill got shipped away, and then it was, all the coaches must change the way in which they talk to the players. It's 2024, da-da-da. And the guy that got called out is the one that scores the goal in overtime.
Amazing.
Like, that's the part to me that is heartwarming, that you can actually say, hey, you dumb son of a bitch, you need to do more. We need more. My God, we need you to make a play. And you know what? And I think there are a lot of Bruins fans who might say, Pasta wasn't great, but he made the big play in the big moment at the big time. And at the end of the day, That's all we care about.
I always think about that one Terrell Owens playoff game. I think it was against the Dallas Cowboys, where he's literally dropping every stinking pass. Drop, 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 drop. And then sure enough, at the end of the game, Steve Young throws him like a seam route pass, and he catches it between two players. Bap, they knock the crap out of him, and he falls in. He scores a touchdown. End of game.
Right.
Completely, immediately erased every bad thing that he had done with that one catch. And he knew it because he started crying and bawling his eyes out, because he knew that he could watch the tape now and be okay with it because he saves today. Yeah, 100%, that is the way it goes. And Thank freaking God. Thank God, because I don't know about you, how you're watching the game. And I know if people like probably
it was
so long ago, because it's like we're going to recap the game real quick on Saturday, and then suddenly, okay, listen, we got a game tonight.
A lot of times when there's a USC pay-per-view, I have that pay-per-view on the big TV and the Bruins on the smaller one, and nope, it was reversed the other night.
Did you think they were going to lose? Do you think the Bruins were going to lose?
You know, when they went down 1-0, I thought, oh, man, this is where the dam breaks. Don't give up the second goal. Oh, man, they might lose. And then sure enough, they turn around, and within 2 minutes, it's tied.
It's crucial.
And the fact that the response was quick, and you got a guy like Hampus Lindholm, who had not been great, had been very much maligned during this series, who was one of the guys that came through in a very big spot and came through in overtime as well. So I admit, when they went down 1-0, I thought the worst. I'm like, oh, man, this isn't good. Because I've got to give Toronto a ton of credit. And I don't know how much Florida is going to pick up on this, because stylistically, Florida and Toronto are so different. But you got to give Toronto credit. They sold out. They packed it in. They blocked shots. They just tried to win 1-0, 2-1, 3-2 type games. And it's not the worst way to go against the Bruins, because they've got dynamic offensive players, but man, they were bottled up in this series. That's why it was such a big deal that Pasta was the one that scored the game winner at the end. I mean, that's why it was so important that it was David Pastrnak. Again, that and the fact that we bring a little bit of clarity, you know? We bring a little bit of, oh my God, Jim Montgomery can talk to his players like an adult, because that was the big worry, was the, oh my God, did Jim Montgomery go down the road of a big mean Bruce Cassidy, or, oh, he's channeling his inner Belichick, my God. After the game, David Pastrnak was the one who said, I'm glad he said it.
With Jimmy, you know, he said the stuff he did after game six? Yeah. And, you know, I was, you know, I told him, like, if I'm the coach and you are me, I would say the same thing. So I had no problem of him saying that. You know, he's trying to bring the best out of every single player, you know, and he expects more. And how I said, I just took it as a man, you know, and tried to be better. I admit it, I need to be better, you know, so, and I still have ways to be better.
My God, he can be coached. Good Lord.
I will say this. I mean, you mentioned Bill. Bill never called out players like that. Bill never said, you know what, Troy Brown needs to play better. They never said, that Kevin Falk, he needs to do more. He needs to play better.
Yeah, actually, he always started with, we got to play better, we got to coach better, or we got to coach better, and then we got to play better.
Never, like, oh, Matthew Judon, he's not getting enough pressure. He's got to get a sack.
We've all got to do better. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was like a broad, vague term, and everybody kind of understood. He was never going to single out anybody. I don't have a problem with it at all. And what also, hockey's always, they're just a different mentality, and I respect them and the players and the way they go about their business more than any other sport, even more than my own sport.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even the fact that they're just little things, right? They're wearing the suits. They're coming together. You know, they're saying the right things. You know, they're calling each other out. Like,
what do you make
of fighting? I love it.
What do you make of Monty taking him to the home game hotel?
Okay, so not only does he do that, but the morning skate is not right down the road here at Warrior Ice Arena. It's down at the Garden, right? So everything, he changes up everything. And I'm like, listen, if you think it's needed to kind of flip the script a little bit and get everybody's mind rewired, I guess it works. But if he loses the game, it's a completely different narrative, right? So right now, it's like, wow, look how smart this guy is. Like, you know, this is perfect, right? He knew he needed to switch things up, and he went completely off script, and the players responded. I would say I felt like Toronto was outplaying them for the most part. There was a big chunk of that game. I'm like, they're going to lose the game.
Well, Toronto's effort had to be at that level because it was the only way they could realistically beat the Bruins. And again, you give them credit for three games of that series. They did a great job of packing it in, blocking shots, making it difficult. Now, you find out in Game 7 that Wall is not in there, and that's a big deal turning to Samsonov. But then again,
he played good too.
No, but it goes to show the job that Toronto did in terms of taking away space for the Bruins and making sure they couldn't get pucks on net. And that's why I wonder where Florida's going to land on all this, because we know the Florida, different game than Toronto. They want to grab, they want to clutch, they want to, you know, muck it up, let's say, for 60 minutes and force you to continue to grind. There are two things I like coming out of the Toronto series. Number one is that the grind for the Bruins is already there. You know, Toronto, Florida has had a day or two or five to be able to rest and get ready. But as we have learned in the hockey playoffs over the years, momentum does matter. So the Bruins are carrying some momentum down to Florida. And then the other question is, who's going to be in net? And I know you have some thoughts on Swayman.
Well, first of all, yeah, you're right. And, let's just get to the low-hanging fruit, because it is a thing. Like, if I am the Bruins, if I'm Montgomery, I'm not changing a thing. I think that opportunity is gone away. Swayman for me is like a pitcher, you know, throwing a no-hitter in the sixth inning. You don't talk to him, you don't change anything, you leave him the hell alone, and then you just ride him until the wheels fall off. That's the type of zone that he's in. So it would be almost coaching malpractice for him to go ahead and start Ullmark in this game, even though if I'm Ullmark, I feel like I have a pretty good case to come in and say, well, okay, well, if you started Swayman because of how good he played against Toronto, well, then why wouldn't you play me? Look at my record this year against Florida. I mean, he's 3-0. They didn't lose to Florida once. He's 3-0. He got the bulk of them. Three of the four, he won. So, but I still wouldn't change a thing. And I think if he even hints at doing that, he'll have a revolt on his hands. I don't think the players will stand for it. It'd be stupid. Well, he's tired. So what? When he's tired, I'll change him.
617-779-7937. I don't think it's a matter of tired for Swayman. I think it's a matter of the matchups, as the Bruins have talked about really all season long. And I think you're right. We're going to get Swayman in game one. And then if it isn't great, I could totally see them going to Ullmark, considering what you just mentioned. That with Swayman, it was we took into account the way he played against Toronto. I think you do have to take into account the way Ullmark has played against Florida. But if you put Swayman in and you're winning and you're winning and you're winning and say you sweep, you're not going to mess around with it. So I think when the door opens again, I could see Jim Montgomery opening it up and being like, okay, we can put Linus in here. But this now will become the biggest question surrounding the Bruins is who's going to be in net, which way is Monty going to go? And I think most fans are of the, you got to leave Swayman in there in game one. But I don't think people are as close-minded as you are on Ullmark playing in this series. I really don't.
The other thing I hear that I think is just almost insulting if I'm a hockey player is, oh, but he's so tired. Oh, he's never played more than, I don't know how many, four or five games in a row. Oh, God, he needs a break, mentally challenging, blah, blah, blah. It's the playoffs. Like, I don't think anyone is – you know, politicking for a day off. I don't think he wants a day off.
No, it's every other day now, and you have plenty of time during a playoff series.
Oh, I can't handle the stress.
No, I don't think
I'm not sleeping.
I'm with you. I don't think it's about, if anything, it's more managing injury than it is more managing rest than anything else. And that's where you end up getting to the rest of the roster, and then how are you going to put it together against Florida tonight? And we're going to find out. We will go to South Florida. I think we have landed on 12:25. Yep.
Throw 20.
So for a razor?
Yeah, so a morning skate starts at 11, and then Montgomery's going to speak. So we'll go at 12:20 with Razor. Practice will just be finishing up. He'll give us all the information. And the thing about Razor that is really good, if there is a question mark about who's going to be in net tonight, he'll tell us. Because all he does, I think he watches the mannerisms of the goalies. And if it's a woe is me mentality for Ullmark, you know Swayman is starting.
So you think if somebody's hanging their head, then Razor's able to kind of sniff it out a little bit?
He called it game three. I called it game four and five. I did, with my insiders.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Your insiders.
I think my insider is Razor. Let him know. He's my insider. I just call him for all the information.
What are you talking about? I thought you had another insider. That's how you became.
But he's very unreliable.
That's how you became a hockey insider, for God's sake.
Very unreliable.
You can watch us do this show on Twitch, and why wouldn't you? Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. You can also go to YouTube, type in WEEI live stream, will pop right up. Click right there and you'll be ready to go. You can also text us at 37937. The 508 jumping in. It's not just Alinas was 3-0 against Florida. Swayman had an 86% save percentage against the Panthers in his game in the regular season, while Alinas was 95% in his games. And, you know, again, it's the biggest question, but I feel like the safest way and the easiest way for Jim Montgomery to handle it would be Swayman in game one, and then let's leave it open and kind of see from there.
So it really is a two-game sample size of whoever plays the best out of those two games gets the start of game three or gets the rest of the games?
No, I don't think they're going to do a rest of the games type thing considering there are both guys. And here's the other thing, too. I think the one thing that we don't know about Linus Ullmark's personality is he's sitting there pouty face, being a bitch about it, grousing about it, not carrying himself the right way, or is this just business as business is done in the NHL and Linus is going to be a pro and wait his turn? Because we, on the outside, I think Fourier, have approached this as if this is a problem for the hockey team, whether it's players not responding or one of the goalies getting poo-poo face and then getting in a bad mood and then not being able to sort of pull themselves out of it. I don't get the sense that Linus Ullmark is the kind of guy who will be like, you have to put me before the team and like scream that he needs to be in net. I don't get that sense.
I also feel like it's really hard to even say anything where – it's easy to identify Swayman as the MVP of the series. If he doesn't play the way he played, especially in Game 7, with the amount of saves, the unbelievable saves that he was making to keep you in this game, you are bounced, and your coach is getting fired, and guys are just being traded, and it is a reshuffling of the deck. He saved your ass. I mean, you haven't seen, I wasn't around the whole Tim Thomas days. You know, I wasn't really paying attention.
Yeah, you were playing then.
You know, but the whole, standing on his head, became, a thing. Like, for me, that's the closest thing I can identify as standing on your head.
Let's put it this way, Christian. I think the analysis of goalies, especially during the postseason, gets overrated because there's never been one who's allowed four goals a game and their team has won a cup. Like, that's the part of it that always gets me. It's the, well, the goalies played great. Well, in what year did a team win a Stanley Cup in which the goalie didn't play great and they were winning games 8-7 that doesn't happen in the Stanley Cup playoffs. It just doesn't.
No, they're so good.
Normally, if you're in the round of eight, which we're heading to right now, it's fair to say that on the whole, your goalie is pretty good. Now, maybe they have a meltdown. Maybe they crap their pants, whatever. But again, you know, I don't think we'll be saying, well, I'll tell you, the Bruins did a great job. Even though Swayman gave up 3.5 goals per game, you know, the Bruins were just a scoring juggernaut, and they turned into the L.A. Rams of the NHL. No, I don't think I don't think that's a world that we will be living in anytime soon.
Yeah, I think it's funny because for some reason, so the Bruins beat Florida four times this year, yet why are they the underdog? Why are the Bruins the underdog?
Recency bias, number one.
Why doesn't regular season matter at all?
Rest, road. Yeah, but it's just from a betting standpoint. It's just a, you're, I mean, don't overreact to a one game snapshot or even Florida. Remember, Florida won the division. They have home ice. They have rest. And the Bruins didn't look great against Toronto. I mean, there's four reasons right there why there would be, and recency bias, I think, too. What was the last
because
thing?
Of last year?
Well, but it's more of the what was the last thing you saw, and it was the Bruins struggling to grind through a series in which a lot of people on the outside will say, well, you're up 3-1, and you went to overtime game 7 to be able to beat them.
And the Panthers absolutely destroyed the Lightning in 5 games.
Yeah, the Panthers did play great. There's no question.
I wonder how much of this, I will call it a monkey off your back, is going to just, you know, allow them just to be a little bit more relaxed, free-flowing.
Like pressure's carefree. Off now kind of thing?
I feel like that was, imagine like what was at stake. Nothing good for them because if they would have lost being up 3-1, the whole like, hey, first team to ever lose, you know, in back-to-back years being up 3-1. Like that is something you don't want to be any part of.
Right.
And then like with the idea of losing your coach and everybody getting fired and the embarrassment that goes along with it, I would think that they were like they probably feel like they're playing with house money now. Like can the Bruins be the Leafs now? Can the Bruins be to Florida as the Leafs were to the Bruins?
Well, I'm not so sure about that because Florida just plays such a different game. The one thing I'm curious about is, will Florida try to pack it in and make it difficult on the Bruins, or are they going to clutch grab, do what they normally do? And it didn't really work against the Bruins this year. So, I think we learn this as the Stanley Cup playoffs go on. It gets tighter. It gets hotly contested. The calls matter more. The pressure ultimately gets cranked up on the goalies more and more and more because there are times where they do have to kind of stand on their head. Or if you think about in between the goal that Toronto scored to go up 1-0, and then when the Bruins turned around and scored, what was it, 2.5 minutes later, there was another dicey situation in there where Swayman needed to make a big save to keep that a 1-0 game. It's those kind of moments become amplified even more. And listen, I'm geek for the series against Florida because I know the Bruins match up well against them. Now the question is, will they play well? The Red Sox played okay, at least yesterday. They beat Minnesota to avoid being swept. They're now going to head to Atlanta. We know the Celtics opponent. We can continue with you on the phones, and we've got to get to the Tom Brady roast because Fourier, better than I thought. Better than I expected. And there really were no sacred cows, which is kind of shocking as well.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, more Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
It's great seeing you again. This is a big night. The fans want you. Everyone wants you. But it's not your night. Sorry, Drew. Brady.
Yeah, coach.
You're in. Let's go.
Let's go. Are you kidding me? Again?
And that is how it started last night on Netflix. 10:30, Gresh and Fourier here with you. We'll get to Razor after 12 o'clock down in Florida. We know we're going to mix in the Bruins calls, but how about that last night? I thought that was a hot start. I really did. I'm like, damn. Like, they went right to one of the real, like, core still stinging issues, maybe. Although, having talked to Drew Bledsoe many times over the years, I get the sense that Drew has become kind of comfortable with his place in life. Like, let's see, how bad is it to really be Drew Bledsoe, okay? You made about $110 million when it
was all said and done.
That
was on one contract.
Well, kind of. You know how those, you of anyone more know how those NFL contracts are written.
Was it up to $100?
Up to $100, that's really what it was worth, is $100. No, but guys thrown for over, 40,000 yards, played in a couple different outposts, had a long career, made over $100 million. And if
has his own winery.
Well, and if the
he likes wine so much, is that screw
yes!
it. I'm going to make my own.
And if the epitaph is he was replaced by the greatest quarterback that ever lived, I feel like Drew is now like, okay, I'm connected to Tom Brady forever, whether I like it or not.
Yeah, I mean, no one's going to be should be ashamed of losing out to him and what he was capable of doing. I will say this. I know we haven't capped this whole, feel like a year-long farewell tour event celebration of Tom Brady.
Are you about this to be capping on capping?
No. Oh. I feel like I have massively underestimated the magnitude of what was accomplished and the personalities that grew out of those 23 years. They sold out the Forum. Each person got a massive standing ovation, and don't tell me everybody in that auditorium, in the Forum, were like Patriot fans.
I think one of our listeners was there. Jenny Forbush, who's in the Twitch chat all the time, like see on Instagram, and she was like, "Yeah, I'm going to this thing." Like, oh my god,
it's just amazing.
But it
to
sounds
me.
Like they had what 15,000 people there, or whatever it was, or
it
something
was
like that.
A lot, and then forget about just the fact that it was packed. The amount of stars and people of influence that showed up to this thing is, it really is mind-boggling. I can't think of another team or situation that has had a bigger impact on the sports world in general.
Now, it's interesting that you say that because it's the team and the impact, because you could pick individuals. Like, you could do, if you did a roast of LeBron James, you'd sell out the Forum, obviously.
Yep.
But that's very much connected to him individually. And while this was the roast of Tom Brady, it kind of turned into, in some ways, the roast of the New England Patriots in a lot of ways. And I will say this. I thought the way this was going to be presented, there would be a little more mass appeal Instead, I think it might have appealed to just Massachusetts and New England. Once I then watched it and heard it, and it was all said and done, because the comedians were great. And, you know, Kevin Hart got it started, and then Nikki Glaser, like, tore the house down. They had some other people kind of jump in there and stuff like that. But it wasn't for an NFL audience like I kind of thought it was going to be.
No, think about people who don't live in New England, right? Mm-hmm. They don't live in this region, the Northeast. Do they really kind of understand all the little side jokes and all the stuff that's going on? Do they really get it? I think they do. That's my point. I think they I don't think I gave
I think they're what, generally aware.
Generally probably kind of yeah, maybe sort of aware.
Yeah, I think if you were watching in Peoria or Walla Walla last night, because people in Washington would have watched for Bledsoe, you would have gotten some of the cracks in there. Especially
look, ass, Foxborough High is the only job offer you had.
And then we have the individual performances to get to as well. What was your overall takeaway? Like, did you go in with a preconceived notion and then come away? I went in very much with a preconceived notion, and I came away much more entertained than I thought. A little long for my taste.
Yeah, it was 3 hours.
It was like an AEW pay-per-view. Yeah. It was like a wrestling pay-per-view that goes on too long. It actually crested a little more in 3 hours. But it was really two people who slowed it down, I thought.
Who?
Moss and Gronk.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, it's funny because a couple of things is like, wow, how unbelievably stressful it would be to come up there. So the first player to speak was Drew.
Yep.
So Drew Bledsoe, and he did awesome.
He was great.
He did an unbelievable job. And the second player was Moss. He was horrible. His jokes were terrible.
Yeah.
They didn't make any sense. There was no timing to it. There really wasn't biting at all. Like, he was trying to make fun of people, but he was just missing the mark totally. And then I was sitting there going, okay, here comes the greatest coach of all time in the history of sports. Like, would John Wooden do this? Would he come up there and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is going to start ripping him? Like, would Pat Riley do this? Would Don Shula be a part of this?
Would Bill
Lombardi allow his players to rip him to shreds?
Would Bill Parcells do this with what's left of those 80s Giants teams?
It is amazing. But Bill did it for so long. I was like amazed. Like think about how quickly everything has changed. Like not only for Bill, but for Brady, for everybody involved in this whole 23-year experiment, mm-hmm. right? Even Kraft. Like, Bill's up there at a roast, like drinking, carrying on, being parts of skits, like reading meeting with a comic to like help him with his lines and his jokes and his delivery. I'm just sitting there going, what the hell is going on here?
I thought Bill was the big winner of the night.
Standing ovation.
It was hard to butt heads with Tom because he was so far up Alex Guerrero's.
I mean, fantastic. Again, I was sitting there going, do people know who Alex Guerrero is?
Oh, when they went to him.
It was like,
could he have, I mean.
He could have gotten a lot worse.
It's just when they go to him and he just. He looks like the kid that is, I'm trying to say this the right way.
Roast him. Go ahead.
He looks like the kid who's happy to be picked for kickball.
Yeah. Like somebody's parents said, hey, will you pick little Alex first this time? Like, his feelings are really hurt.
Yeah, that's what it felt like. With him, it was like, oh, they mentioned me. Yeah. That's what it felt like to me.
Here's the other thing.
It was I'm his little buddy, and they patted me on the head.
The other thing that was like, okay, if I'm Bill, I know Brady's going into a TV career. Bill's going into a TV career as well.
Yeah.
But I think the general consensus is that he wants to coach again.
Oh, yeah. I think Bill
think so? Won- think he
yeah,
wants yeah. to
Bill,
coach again.
He's going to coach again.
Okay. Yeah. How does he – I guess it's okay. Like, after this, like, you've stripped down his personality and all the layers of him, and now you've kind of got this soft, clever, witty – jokester.
Well, hang on.
And now he comes back, and hey, what happened to the roast Bill Belichick I thought I was going to get?
But in all seriousness, how much of some of what the world got to see last night is the guy that you, who played for him, have already in some ways been exposed to? Because the reason that I say Bill came away as a big winner last night is because of that. It is disarming what you think you know about Bill Belichick. You know, again, apparently we now walk through a world where, God forbid, you tell anybody anything. It becomes a big problem, as evidenced by a lot of the reaction of the texters and, ah, Bill Troglodyte, oh, you got to do things new now. It showed that the guy is what people like you and others have said. He can be funny. He can be self-deprecating. He gets it. He's got a sense of humor, all that kind of stuff. That's what I wonder if people come away. If you were an owner and you thought, oh, here comes, oh, Bill's just this D who's going to ruin this whole thing. And then you're like, well, maybe the guy can laugh.
Well, I do think some of the perception, and the other thing, last thing before we get to some of the sound.
Please,
we have some time. Okay.
Oh, no,
time.
We have a lot of time.
Why would Brady do this? Because even Kevin Hart was like, why would you do this, man? He was being serious. Like, you sure you want to do this? You asked me to come here. You asked me to host. Why? What was this something that he felt like before he moved on, he had to get rid of all the jokes. He had to get rid of all the one-liners. He had to get all the uncomfortable life situations, his wife, his kids, you know, a Kraft, Bill, all those situations. Hey, you know what I'll do? I'll make fun of myself. And then I'm never going to be in an uncomfortable situation. No one's ever going to really be able to kind of stick it to me because I've already done it. I wonder why what was the purpose of it? What was it, just to do it? A bucket list? Oh, I've always wanted to do a roast?
I'm going to say there are two words that are connected to Tom Brady as to why he did this. And I think I'm right on this. It's called executive producer.
Was he the executive producer of
this?
See his name?
I do believe at the end, as they were rolling credits, I do believe.
Oh, we got to fact check that.
I saw some people texting it in, too, to 37937 to the end of Greg's show as well. But I thought I saw on there that he had a – we could probably Google that and figure it out pretty quick. But – he got an executive producer credit on this. So, Christian, to me, this is in a way, it's kind of simple.
Huh?
Brady doesn't have the money to get into the Raiders based on the way the owners value the team, and there's a lot of let me fill the coffers going on right now. I think this was a pretty easy way for Brady to also get his friends a payday too. I mean, I don't think Edelman.
You think those guys get paid?
I don't think Edelman was there for charity. I think the people who spoke might have gotten a little bit more, but I'm sure it would have. Like at worst for a guy like Cope, right? What do you figure for Copen, who just sat back there and smiled? That's all he did. He's like, hey, how you doing? He's like, hi, I'm here.
Yeah. Hey, don't make fun of me. No one's going to make fun of me. Nobody knows
right,
who I
exactly,
am.
Exactly, right?
I was a center once.
But don't you think that was, that was, you know, air, hotel, food, hanging out, taping some stuff.
They took over the L.A. last night.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that those guys, they didn't get rich, don't get me wrong, but it was probably a little more than, you know.
How much do you think he made after? What do you think he got paid?
Who, Brady?
Yeah, $10 million?
Oh, I don't know if I go that far. I would definitely say it's seven figures. He doesn't do that for anything under seven figures. But yeah, I would. I cut that in half. I could see him getting $5 million for the whole thing last night, and then you know all of the run that Netflix is getting out of it. Plus, the other thing too is Netflix is kind of announcing we're here for sports. Now, again, this was a different spin on it, don't get me wrong, but they're getting into business with WWE. There's been a lot of talk about live events, and this was live on Netflix. So, you know, if somebody jumped up there and said something really terrible, they weren't going to be able to edit or delete that or whatever. It would have been out there for everyone to see. So there was a level of risk that everyone did assume by going out there. It was interesting, I got to say. What are you, you're furrowing your brow at all?
No, I don't know the answer.
Are you
I
now
feel
realizing
like,
that all of this summer of Brady might have been a cash grab and that the, 70,000 people that they're going to pack into Gillette Stadium on a hot, sweaty July where there isn't monster trucks and they're all going to be there for Tom Brady? Do we really think that Tom Brady, it's the Hall of Fame induction, but it's the one they're putting in the stadium? Do we think Tom Brady is just showing up for that out of the kindness of his heart?
Well, if they're selling tickets and it's not some charitable, connection to it, then you would probably. So what? You're gonna throw me a party. You're gonna make money off the party that you're throwing
Bingo.
Me. And you want me to show up and not get paid?
Yeah.
Not gonna happen.
Right? Exactly. So
not gonna happen.
So Brady's gonna get what $18.5 million starting this year from Fox. And probably he still probably does what 12 to 15 in endorsements, maybe a little bit more. So this goes to the Raider fund.
Man,
you know what? In a
I hope it happens soon.
Hey, you know what? I would love to find the numbers because in a weird way, imagine if Tom Brady gets a 7-figure check, let's say, because we as fans who love him filled the stadium. For him to then turn around and put that towards the building fund of getting in with the Raiders. You never thought of that, did you? Mind blown.
I just start saving everything and, like, put it in the fund. Well, I'll tell you, like, because I know we got to play the sound of this. And Glazer had the best line of the night.
All right.
For at least as far as, like, not, like, trying to make somebody uncomfortable, but the funniest line that I think got the best response, laughter, not like, oh, my God, I was so uncomfortable. Nikki Glazer had it.
And I think we have it. You will hear it next.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Remember, you can listen to WEEI on your smart speaker.
Just say, play 93.7 WEEI.
Now, more of Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
I know there are some people today who are like, oh, poor Gronk. No, not poor Gronk. Even though he did kind of take on the chin.
Yeah.
I will say, Belichick zinged him as well with the whole... Please stop doing your job on Fox NFL Sunday, which is pretty good.
That was a good one. Yeah, I tell you what, he was such an easy target. And sometimes I thought
I've been watching on Fox NFL Sunday, and I'm begging you, please stop doing your job.
Because Bill was like, yeah, do my job. Do your job is like my thing, unless you're Gronk. And I'm telling you, don't do your job. Like, stop taking my advice. So. That was great. But here's the one that I thought was the overall best, like, call it the line of the night. Wasn't like one of these, let's make people feel uncomfortable talking about Brady's wife, craft at the Orchids of Asia. Let's not get into, Belichick, getting caught on a ring camera, sneaking out of some girl's house.
Everybody caught one. At
everybody
least
caught
one,
one.
If not, and that wasn't the only massage joke where Brady looked at Jeff Ross and was like, I don't do that anymore.
The only person who caught no strays who was up there, and I asked you this earlier, only person who didn't catch any strays who has an event where he easily could have caught some massive strays was... Willie McGinnis.
Oh!
Willie McGinnis was the only one that was on stage.
Yeah.
That was like, wow, there's a big issue. He got fired from NFL Network, and he's got some issues. They stayed away from that embarrassing issue with Willie. I didn't hear him touch it once. And I felt like that was low-hanging fruit.
On the week that Michael Irvin got shoved out at NFL Network, finally.
Was he there 15 years?
No, because we had him on our air, and
that's
then
right.
I know it was like,
I loved him.
Maybe we should pull back, and it was like, oh, he's not getting shipped out, and he was there a whole nother year, and then now because NFL Network is going through all the changes now once again.
So
because they're about to get sold. So.
Okay, so all right, Zeke. I hope Zeke is listening and he's not putting and not practicing his golf game. Pull up a picture of Nikki Glazer okay? Because I don't know if a lot of people know who she is.
Yeah, kind of.
Like, she's a good-looking comic.
Well, she's also, like, working arenas and stuff like that.
Okay.
She was on a big-time tour. No,
never really heard of her, but she's pretty freaking funny.
Yeah, yeah. And F-Boy Island is a pretty funny-ass
show.
Okay,
I heard of that. Like, that's a thing.
Yeah, yeah,
F-Boy Island.
It is so up your alley, it's not even funny.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, now I gotta look it up.
Well, I only hear these things because my wife can't wear headphones or won't wear headphones around the house, so whatever... You know, life after a lockup or something like that. Yeah, there's Nikki Glaser right there. Yeah, yeah.
It's like, you know, women who are like really pretty and really funny scare me a little bit.
No, no, she's a tremendous comedian and a looker. And also, like you said, with Gronk, low-hanging fruit.
Tom also lost $30 million in crypto. Tom, how did you fall for that? I mean, even Gronk was like, me know that not real money. Like,
that was the best line.
He reminds me of Mongo from Blazing Saddles. Mongo, only pawning game of life. Like, if they ever did a remake of Blazing Saddles, he's Mongo.
Gronk would be in it, no
question.
I thought
that was the best line.
Zing the hell out of it. Yeah. That was really good.
Even Gronk was like, me know that not real money. Like,
$30 million later.
And did you see Bill's reaction sitting by Gronk? I will say this. Bill is a forceful clapper.
Okay, explain.
Okay.
Forceful clapper.
So a lot of people will do the, okay, I got a little golf clap going, right? And then I got this. And then there was Bill where it was like.
He's like the monkey with the tambourine
You know how he would have the real hard clap at the end of games where you could like, it wouldn't be like, you know, the polite, it would be the like cupping each other.
Really?
Like this. There were times where I forget who it was. Somebody either zinged him or Gronk really good. And, I mean, it was the hard clap where, like, ooh, his hands are going to hurt afterwards.
My favorite ring is the camera that caught Coach Belichick slinking out of that poor girl's house at 6 a.m. a few months ago.
I know, but then he's like, you still got it. He's like, oh, hey, listen, we ain't mad at you. Dude, you're like 70-something years old, and you still got it.
I want to put this question into your head to kind of pick back up because we thought we were going to have Razor at 11:25. We're going to have him an hour later.
Yep.
Looks like Razor at 12:30
yep.
after everything is done down there, right?
Yeah.
Was there the settling of family business last night?
I know you're...
You know the road I'm going down with this, right? I want you to ponder. I want the people to ponder as well.
Okay.
Because we can get into it at 11:25. Because I do wonder... They always say within humor, there are shreds of truth. And some of that can be uncomfortable. Some of it can be mean. I don't know how to put last night into perspective.
Okay.
Were people zinging each other in a fun way, but were like, yeah, I've been waiting to say this to you for 20 years, buddy, type thing? Or was it all in good fun? I do want to get back to that because The Weekend Revisited is next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.